भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we'll read from Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, text number 61. Ishvarah sarva bhutanam riddeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantrarudhani mayaya Ishvarah sarva bhutanam riddeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantrarudhani mayaya Ishvarah sarva bhutanam riddeshe arjuna tishtati Brahmayan sarva bhutani yantrarudhani mayaya The Supreme Lord sarva bhutanam of all living entities riddeshe in the location of the heart Arjuna, O Arjuna, tishthati, resides, brahmayan, causing to travel, sarvabhutani, all living entities, yantra, machine, arudhani, being so placed, Mayaya, under the spell of material energy, translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. And is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The reason we are all down here in the material world, as we have seen several times before, is that we have developed a desire to enjoy separately from or independently of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. Because in the spiritual world, it is a world of harmony where all the spirit souls are engaged together in the service of Lord Krishna, there is no scope in the spiritual world for any deviation from that very strict standard. Therefore, out of his free will, when the Jivatma decides that he does not want to serve Krishna, but instead he wants to lord it over and become the Lord himself, then the Lord fulfills his desire and he sends him to this material world. This material world is made up of matter. And therefore, the spirit soul, who is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss by nature, if he wants to enjoy in this material world, he has to adapt himself to this new environment. Just like if you go to a foreign country in the winter, then you have to adapt yourself by a proper dress. So also the spirit soul, he cannot come here in his original spiritual dress. So therefore, he is given, for the sake of enjoying this material world, an instrument. He is given a machine or a vehicle. And what is that vehicle called? What is that vehicle? The body. So that body is made up of the material energy. So this body is like a machine. So it says here, yantra rudhani mayaya. So yantra means machine. But machine made up of what? Of mayaya. Made up of maya, the material energy. So the jivatma is given an appropriate vehicle. And then using this vehicle, the jivatma tries to lord it over. So this is the idea behind being given so many different bodies. But we should know at the same time that the jivatma, being in an alien environment, can never actually find satisfaction here. This we have seen at length in the last couple of sessions. So when the jivatma desires to be independent, Krishna is simply fulfilling. He says, all right, you want this? Okay, take this machine and try to enjoy. Take this toy. It's like a toy. And you enjoy. And not only that, because the jivatma is completely dependent in all circumstances upon the Lord, so he cannot even enjoy or try to enjoy independently in this material world. So what does Lord Krishna say? He says, okay, I have supplied you the engine or the vehicle, but I will come with you myself, because you cannot do it on your own. You cannot even try to fulfill your desires on your own. Just like if a small child, he cries, and he says, I want to go to the park, I want to go and play. So after some time, when the child is very adamant, the mother or father will say, okay, you can go to the park. But the parent will not send the child alone, because he can't do, he doesn't know where to go, how to cross the road, what to do. He is completely dependent on the parents. So the mother or father say, okay, come on, I will take you there. And then when the child is playing on the seesaw and the swing, the father and mother don't go and sit on the swing, or they don't go on the seesaw, they just stand and watch, isn't it? So similarly, Krishna, he expands himself unlimitedly in the form of the Paramatma, the Super Soul. And he accompanies each and every jiva as he comes into this material world. Just like there's so many children in the park, each of them has a guardian with them, the mother or father, they come with them. So likewise, of course, we have a common father. So if we have so many, for the ordinary parent, it is not possible to divide himself or herself into so many parts and go with each child. But Krishna can do that. That is why he is Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara means that he is the master of all mystic powers. You see, there are certain yogis who can expand themselves into number of figures, numbering up to 8. But each of these expansions, they will do the same activity that the original is doing. Just like when you go to a television shop, then you will see a series of television sets. And each of them, the same station is being played and the same activity is going on in each. In the television studio, if the actor is raising his hand, then in all the television screens you will find the actor is raising his hands. It will never be different. It's not that the actor is raising his hand in one TV screen like this and the other TV screen is doing that. No, it's identical. So the yogis, by virtue of their yogic powers, they can expand themselves into at the most 8 parts like this. But each of them will function identically. But Krishna is Yoga Ishwara. He is the master of all yogis. He is the reservoir of all yogic siddhis and powers. So therefore, when he expands himself unlimitedly. There is no limit, not just 8 or 10. Unlimited, infinite. Because Krishna's power is infinite. And not only that, each of his infinite expansions, they are all also independent. They can act independently. And along with each Jivatma, the Paramatma comes along, the expansion of Krishna, and he accompanies the Jivatma. And not only that, when this material universe is created, the Paramatma expands himself even more, and he occupies every atom of the creation. Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Brahmaji prays, I worship that Lord Govinda who expands himself so unlimitedly to occupy every atom and then the heart of every living being. And what does he look like, the Paramatma? This is what the Paramatma looks like. He is like this, exactly in everyone's heart, in the form of Lord Vishnu or Lord Narayan. The Chaturvyuha form holding with four hands. This is not a Hindu god. The picture you see here, the same Paramatma is there in the heart of the Muslim or the Christian or the atheist. He is exactly like this. So what Bhagavad Gita is talking about or what Lord Krishna is speaking is Sanatan Dharma, Bhagavad Dharma. It is not just a Hindu Dharma, Muslim Dharma, this Dharma. Everyone's heart, even the heart of an ant, what to speak of a Muslim, Christian or a Hindu, the same figure of the Paramatma is there. Of course, he adapts himself in size according to the size of the body. But he is there present with the Jivatma. And you can see here, he has a bluish complexion. But he is not in the two-armed form of Krishna. When Krishna expands himself, he usually does so in a four-armed form. And in his four arms, what does he have? What are the four things he carries in his four hands? Shankh, Chakra, Gada and Padma. Which means he carries the conch shell, he carries the mace, the lotus and the chakra or his disc. And he is always standing on a lotus flower. So in this way we can see this is the form of the Paramatma who is there. Where is he residing in the yantra? Hriddeshe. Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishthati. So this Paramatma or the Super Soul is stationed in the region of the heart. Hriddeshe, in the region of that heart. And from there he is directing the wanderings of all the living entities. So he is our constant companion. He is always with us. In the Mundaka Upanishad, there is the illustration that the Jivatma and the Paramatma are like two birds in the tree. We have heard this example before. And these two birds, one is the Jivatma, one represents the Jivatma, and the other represents the Paramatma. The tree, what does it represent? What does the tree represent on which the two birds are sitting? The body, correct. And there are so many fruits in the trees. What do the fruits represent? Yes? Yes? The reactions of all his actions, the various objects for sense enjoyment, the tree represents the various objects for sense enjoyment, the various branches. And the fruit, it represents the results of all his actions. So he goes at the first bird, he goes and he plucks, he tastes the fruit of one fruit and he finds it's very sour or very bitter. And he goes to another fruit, he may find it's very tasty, it's very sweet. So in this way, he's hovering between the different fruits, always running here and there between the tree. But the other bird, who is the Paramatma, is sitting silently and watching. He doesn't interfere. And so long as the first bird is simply going around trying to taste the fruit here and there, he is always in anxiety, always unhappy, always morose. But when he turns and looks around at the other bird, immediately he becomes peaceful. So also in the Katha Upanishad and in the Mundaka Upanishad, he said that all that the Jivatma has to do, or all that the first bird has to do, is to turn and look at the other bird. And immediately all his illusion, all his lamentation will automatically go away. But we are not looking. Krishna is there as the Paramatma waiting patiently. When will this part and parcel of mine, the Jivatma, turn towards me and look at me? But the Jivatma has no time. He is so busy. Just see, he is so close to us. He is closer to us than any other living entity. Because he is closest to the Jivatma in the heart, and yet we don't even know that he exists. We don't have faith. And even if we hear, we still don't have faith. So he's there waiting, but he doesn't force us. And he's silently watching. And Jivatma in this way, because he ignores, out of ignorance, the presence of the Paramatma, so he is very unhappy. But the Paramatma, he is so merciful that even if the living entity desires to forget him, he helps him. Whatever desire the Jivatma has, the Paramatma's only function is, he just helps him. He helps him to fulfill that desire. Even if the Jivatma desires in a bewildered condition to commit sinful activities, the Paramatma says, okay, go ahead. If he desires to commit some good activity, okay, go ahead. Whatever he does, the Paramatma's role is simply to fulfill. But we must remember that the Paramatma is fulfilling not simply everything you desire. He is fulfilling everything you desire according to what you deserve. What does this mean? It means that also we must deserve before we can desire. It is said, man proposes, God disposes. We may desire anything. Let's say there is a poor man. And the poor man, he desires, I want 10 crore of rupees just now. So he's desiring, but it's not necessary that the Paramatma is going to fulfill. Why not? Can anyone answer? Why not? If the role of the Paramatma is to fulfill the desire of the living entity, the living entity is desiring, I want 10 crores of rupees now. So why not? Huh? As per his karma or his prarabdha. You see, he has desired in the past. And according to his past desire, he has conducted certain activities. And according to those activities, he is going to get certain reactions. Karma phala. So that is his prarabdha in this life, or his karma that he is going to receive in this life. So if he is going to get that, then he has to exhaust it first. And then only can Krishna fulfill that particular desire, if he deserves it. So in this life, by his past karma, if that particular individual is destined to remain poor all his life, then however much that man may desire, I want to be rich, I want to be rich, nothing doing. He may work hard also. So therefore, it's important thing, we see that people on the road, some of them are pushing hand carts, some of them are laborers at the construction sites. They're working so hard. But simply by working hard, are they becoming rich? Is it a fact? So if simply by working hard you could become rich, then all these laborers and all the people, poor people, would become rich. But they're not. So what is it that makes you rich? Is it labor? It's your past karma. You have desired in a certain way, you have acted in a certain way, and therefore your future is made out according to that. So in this life, your happiness and distress is destined according to your past karma. So why should we unnecessarily struggle so hard like animals and neglect our spiritual welfare? So the living entity, he must deserve first, and then the Paramatma will fulfill. So this is the way in which the whole fulfillment of desires is going on. We must remember that the Jivatma is at all times completely dependent on the Paramatma for the fulfillment of his desire. The Jivatma can do only one thing. What is that? Yes? Huh? He can? Excellent. He can desire. Nothing more than that. He has no power to fulfill that desire. Any desire, even if he deserves it. Even if he deserves it, the Jivatma has no power to fulfill. Why? Because Krishna is the doer. Krishna must come and fulfill as the Paramatma. Krishna is a sanctioner. It is said, not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of God. It's a fact. So Krishna sanctions. Even if you deserve it, unless Krishna arranges for that the fulfillment of that desire, nothing will be possible. So here we have an interesting triangle. What is that triangle? The Jivatma, the Paramatma, and? No. The Jivatma will desire. What is the third in the triangle? Yantra Rudhani? Maya means the material energy, the Prakriti. So these three, whatever you desire, you are trying to fulfill through what medium? Through the medium of what? The body, isn't it? So the Jivatma is desiring. The body, you are fulfilled. The Jivatma's desire is being fulfilled through the medium of the body. And who is fulfilling it? The Paramatma. So the triangle is the Jivatma, the Paramatma, and the material nature of which this body is made. So the Jivatma desires, and then the Paramatma instructs the material energy. Okay, come on, now he desires and he also deserves. So you fulfill. So the bhautik prakriti or the material energy, it fulfills. It is said, Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. The maya shakti or the material energy, the prakriti of the Lord is working under the Lord's direction. And that is why all moving and non-moving living entities are able to function. So Krishna instructs the prakriti, yes, come on, you do it. And if Krishna doesn't fulfill, then prakriti also is powerless to do anything. So Krishna as the Paramatma acts through the medium of the prakriti to fulfill the desire of the Jivatma. Let us take a simple example. Every day we perform so many ordinary activities. Suppose you are raising your hand. Do you know how much is going into that one activity of raising your hand? Or even blinking your eyelid? Or even just taking a breath? How many organs are involved? How many muscles are involved? How many nerves are involved? What kind of physiological changes are taking place in your body in the execution of one simple activity like that? Who is making that possible? For us, it's very an everyday event. We do it, raise it up and down probably hundreds of times. And for you and I, we don't think twice about it because it's natural. I desire to lift my hand and I lift it. So you say Paramatma has fulfilled. Paramatma has enabled. But there are certain cases where the Paramatma may not enable. Let's say there is a patient who has some paralytic attack, as a result of which his right side is now not functioning. Now why has the person got a paralytic attack? Yes? His past karma. Because he has performed some particular karma in the past, any suffering situation or any good condition in this material world is simply a result of past karma. Correct? So if somebody is also paralyzed, then it also means that it is because of his past karma. He deserves by his past karma. Maybe in this life, maybe in the previous life, you don't know. So in any race, at any case, he has got this paralysis. If he wants to raise his hand, he desires. Will the Paramatma fulfill? Why not? Because he doesn't deserve it by his past karma. So he can't raise his hand. So the Paramatma will tell the Prakriti, now you cannot raise that hand. Now all the muscles, all the things, all the other nerves and everything, let them be as they are. No more. You can't act now. And if by his karma, prarabdha, he is to get cured, a suitable medicine is to come, a suitable doctor is to become the instrument, then automatically get cured. So Krishna will say, okay, now you get cured. Let us not imagine that it is the medicines that cure us. Yes? How many of us imagine that it is the medicines that cure us or the doctors that cure us? It is Krishna who will cure us. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he is the healing herb. Even if you dump your so many medicines into the body, it is not necessary that you have to get cured. Is it? Or even if you are going for a very simple operation, it may happen that the patient may die. And a very complicated operation in which there are 1% chances of survival, the patient may survive and come out healthy and live for 20 years after that. So the Paramatma has to sanction. And he has to make sure that the material energy is going to function according to the exact karma of that individual. The exact quota of suffering. Who is regulating? Who is regulating the amount, exact amount of suffering that you should get? The exact amount of pleasure that you should get? When that suffering should get over? When the pleasure should start? When you should be mixed pleasure and suffering? Who is determining? Who is monitoring that? The Paramatma. Can you imagine the complicated nature of the Paramatma's job? At every second you are committing activities. You have thoughts. You have desires. And we have been committing these things for the last millions and millions and millions of lifetimes. The Paramatma has kept track of all of them. And even now he is manipulating. Exactly, he remembers 10 million lifetimes back there is some karma probably that is not fructified and it is coming now. And he is giving you exactly that much at the right time through the right instrument, in the right quantity, everything fixed. So can there be a greater super computer than the Paramatma? How he is manipulating? See, anyone who understands the way the body is functioning and the way we are able to act the way we are, he will become amazed. He has to become a devotee of the Lord. So the scientists, actually speaking, should become the best devotees of the Lord. But maya ya paharita jnana, because of their intense desire to be independent and want to understand creation independent of God, so naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha. So Lord Krishna, he puts his energy of maya shakti over their eyes so they cannot see the reality. But the more we appreciate, we are not trying to simply get some mundane knowledge by discussing muscles and nerves. What are we trying to do? Our aim in discussing all these muscles and nerves is to appreciate, have a finer understanding of how wonderfully the Paramatma is acting within us. Of to what extent we are utterly and completely dependent on the Paramatma in the heart. How complicated is his job, and how easily and how perfectly he's handling the whole situation. No mistakes, no power failures, nothing. Perfectly is going on, exactly as you deserve and as you desire. So this is the role, this is how everything goes on. So the Jivatma is powerless, he can only desire. And a surrendered soul realizes that I have no power to fulfill, I have only the power to desire. And the intelligent Jivatma, he learns to desire rightly. When he desires rightly, that I want to now turn to the other bird, turn to the Paramatma, then Krishna gives him that facility also. So what is Krishna doing? Krishna is saying, okay, you want to engage in pious activities, so I will engage you in pious activities, and then you can go to the heavenly planets. Okay, you want to engage in sinful activities or impious activities, then I will engage you in such a way that then you will go to the hellish planets. And if you want to come to me, then also I will give you proper guidance. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Lord Krishna says, for one who has developed that shraddha, the desire to serve me, automatically from within I give him that guidance. I guide him accordingly, I direct his wandering, so he comes and chances upon a devotee. Is it chance? It's never chance. By chance I met a devotee of the Lord and then he gave me Bhagavad Gita and I read it and I became a devotee. No, it's not chance. He has directed your wandering. By chance I came across his beer pub and I went in and I had beer. What can I do? It's not by chance. You had the desire, so Krishna fulfilled the desire. So by chance I met him on the street. No, nothing by chance. So everything happens according to desire. The Paramatma, he knows our desire. He senses our desire. After all, he's all-knowing. And he senses our desire just like we can sense the smell of a flower just by being near it. When you go to a garden, a beautiful garden of flowers, just by being there, by the aroma, you can understand the smell of the flower. So similarly, because the Paramatma is situated very close to the Jivatma within the heart, so immediately he is able to understand the desire of the Jivatma. So the desire is a subtle form of conditioning. And because once he senses this desire, immediately he judges whether to fulfill, not to fulfill, when to fulfill, how to fulfill, then he takes all these decisions. So this is the role of the Paramatma. Therefore it is said, Upadrashta Anumantacha Bharta Bhokta Maheshwaraha Paramatmeti Chapyukto Dehesmin Purusha Paraha. In the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes the various functions that the Paramatma performs in the heart. Upadrashta. Upadrashta means that he is the overseer, supervisor, seeing is everything going on alright or not. In case the material energy is not functioning properly, yes, come on, why this muscle is not functioning properly? Or why you have not directed the body properly? Overseeing whether everything is going on properly in a supervisory capacity. Then, Upadrashta Anumantacha. Anumanta means one who gives the Anumati. What is Anumati? Permission. Sanctioner. He sanctions. Okay, you desire? Okay, approval, sign. You can go and do it. So he has to approve. Unless he approves, nothing. Nothing can take place. Upadrashta Anumantacha Bharta Bhokta Maheshwaraha. Then Bharta means that he is the Lord and the Master. He is the master. The Jivatma under illusion thinks that he is the master, but factually the Supreme Lord is the master. Bhokta. Bhokta means he is the supreme enjoyer. He remains the supreme enjoyer. But the Jivatma under illusion thinks that he is the supreme enjoyer. So in this way, the Paramatma seated within the heart is directing the wanderings, and the Jivatma thinks that he is independent out of ignorance, but actually this is the condition of the Jivatma. You are seeing here, on top you see Lord Krishna, and then you see these three figures here, and at the bottom you see two people. Everyone is able to see this? And these two people, they are working hard. They are representing the conditioned Jivatma, the conditioned living entities in this material world. They are working very hard. But how are they being controlled? There are some strings attached, ropes, and these ropes are being manipulated by these three. Who are these three? Maya, yes, specifically, the three modes of material nature representing Sattvagun, Rajagun and Tamagun. So we are all bound by these ropes of Sattvagun, Rajagun and Tamagun, the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. And they are binding us. And we are so tightly bound, and according to the mode of nature that we are under the influence of, we will have to act. We will act according to that. So Jivatma is forced to act in a particular propensity, in a particular way, depending on how he's controlled. And these three modes of material nature are being controlled by the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. Huh? So therefore, an intelligent person understands, I am not the karta, I am not the doer. So where is the question of being proud? Everything is carried on by the three modes of material nature under the direction of the Supreme Lord. So in the third chapter, Lord Krishna is describing Prakriti Kriyamanani Guna material nature. He dreams, he imagines that I am the doer of everything. That's because of me that everything is going on. But actually, all these activities are carried out by material nature. So the Jivatma is really speaking helpless. In every situation, he's utterly helpless. You cannot do a thing. You cannot even think. Because even for your thinking, you are dependent upon the subtle body, on your mind. For so many functions, you're dependent on your brain. You're dependent on every single organ, whether gross or subtle. So the important thing to understand is that the Jivatma in every situation is utterly dependent on the Paramatma. So that at least should make us a little grateful. So the sign of a surrendered living entity is that he appreciates this point and surrenders. Because he says, I cannot do anything independently, so what is there to be proud of? A person who understands truth, he always becomes humble. Because he knows, I am powerless, I am helpless. Isn't it? We also see this here. That a person whose health is good, who is strong, who has a lot of money, who has a lot of everything, he becomes very proud and puffed up. But when that same person, he is deprived of all his material assets, he becomes disgraced in society, his money is taken away, he is put in the jail, he is harassed by people, he gets severe sickness and illness, very painful cancer. Then what happens? Will his pride remain? He's gone. He becomes humble, isn't it? So because he's helpless, he realizes, I'm not the controller. I'm utterly helpless. There are things beyond my control, and one after the other, they're coming upon me and putting me in this miserable situation. So when he realizes his helpless condition, he becomes humble. So one who's intelligent always knows that he's in a helpless condition. It is out of illusion only that we think that I can help myself. That I can do it. I can make it in this world. I can do this. I can do that. Simply Maya. Simply ignorance. So an intelligent person, he doesn't wait till everything is deprived, till everything is taken away. And he surrenders now. And he says, yes, Lord Krishna, I am surrendering to you. And you please handle me the way you want. So long as we are independently trying to enjoy, although Lord Krishna fulfills our desires, we must always know that Lord Krishna is not responsible for our actions. Sometimes people say, when they commit a crime, well, not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Lord. So God has done this activity, so why do you want to blame me? So how do we answer this charge or this allegation? Can anyone answer this? But then why he should receive the punishment? His argument is, why should I receive the punishment when God has done the activity? Nothing moves without the sanction of God. Yes? Correct. It was a Jivatma's desire to do that activity, and the Supreme Lord, being neutral, he fulfills all kinds of desires, so he simply fulfilled. And he is neutral. His role ends there. If you've done good activity, you get good result. Bad activity, bad result. So he is aloof from this entire business, just like a judge. You commit the activity, the judge sentences you. Or if you have been some crime has been committed against you, he awards you some compensation. He is neutral. Similarly, the Paramatma is also neutral. He helps you to fulfill your desire. He arranges everything for you. He makes all arrangements of the material energy. But then you are responsible. If you're acting independently, if you're acting on his behalf, if you surrender to him, then what happens? Then you are no longer liable. Just like if there is an officer working in a company and His job is to work for the company. He sells goods, he accepts goods, he does so many transactions. If in the course of the transaction certain loss is made or a profit is made, then it doesn't affect his salary. If there is a loss that the company makes, the salary is not cut. And if the company makes a profit, he automatically doesn't necessarily get an increment. Correct? Because he's working on behalf of the company. So whatever loss profit comes goes to the company. But if he decides that I will take my share, I am the purchase manager, and I will place an order with this man, and I will tell him, you charge 10% more and give me 5%. If he does on his own, and if he's caught, then he will be punished. Correct? Because he's acting on his own. So similarly, if the individual is acting for his own enjoyment, then plus or minus he gets his rewards or he gets his punishment. But if he's acting on behalf of Lord Krishna, by following his instructions, because he has turned to the Paramatma, surrendered to him, then automatically Lord Krishna acts through him. And whatever the person does is the will of Lord Krishna. You see, Lord Krishna as a Paramatma will never force us to do anything. The Paramatma has a will. He has a desire that all the Jivatma should come back to him. But if the Jivatma doesn't want to, he's not going to force. So we become unwilling instruments. But when the Jivatma decides to surrender to the Lord, so he becomes a very humble instrument, a very nice instrument, which cooperates with the craftsman or the artisan. If you are working on some machine, and every time the machine is not working, suddenly the screw goes off, very difficult to work, isn't it? But if the machine is well oiled, and every part is cooperating nicely, then you can do good work. So the craftsman becomes very happy. Similarly, if the Jivatma surrenders to the Supreme Lord, and does his will, whatever Krishna desires, then Krishna becomes very pleased. And then Krishna acts through that person. That means in such a surrendered situation, everything that the person does is the will of Krishna. So there are two kinds of will. One is Krishna's active will and one is Krishna's passive will. Passive will means Krishna has allowed somebody to commit a murder. It has happened by his will, no doubt. But does it mean that Krishna wants you to murder? No. Krishna is allowing you to murder and then you will suffer for that. So that is called his passive will. He doesn't want it actually, but he's simply allowing it. Then second is his active will. What is his active will? He wants you to surrender to him. That is his active will. So when you become surrendered to Lord Krishna, he says, yes, now I will act through you. You are my pure instrument. So Krishna acts through that individual. And whatever that individual does after that, he is not responsible for it. In the sense, he is not bound. He becomes free. No more the plus and minus. He is eternal, situated in eternal happiness. That's the condition. Sometimes, some people say, they commit murders. And they say, there was one famous murderer called Raman Raghav many years back in Bombay. Some of you may remember him in the 1960s. And he was notorious because he would go on the footpaths and kill people who were sleeping on the footpaths and in the slums. By stone, he would hammer their heads. Ghastly murders. And the police were not able to find out, who is this man? And ultimately they found out. And he was a psychopathic killer. He was a crazy man. He was insane. He was a lunatic. And when he was produced in court, he said, I hear the voice of God from inside the heart and he's telling me to kill. So I'm overpowered by the desire to kill. I cannot stop myself. So I have to kill. So what is the answer? Yes. Correct. Very nice answer. What God wants and doesn't want is given in the scripture. You and I simply cannot come and concoct. This is what God wants. How do we know what God wants? Unless you are in communion with him. Lord Krishna is seated in the heart and he is guiding us. He is giving us his instruction. But our situation is like the situation of a radio station on your shortwave. You try to tune in, especially when it is rainy and there are many atmospheric disturbances, and you're trying on the shortwave band. And so many stations are there. What happens? Usually many screeching sounds come, isn't it? Many is noise, so much noise. In radio technology it's called noise, correct? And the signal you want to hear, the station, radio station you want to hear, BBC or All India Radio, whatever it is, it's called a signal. So as it is, there are so many signals coming, so many radio stations all mixed up. Radio Ceylon, BBC, everything is all mixed up. You can't identify which is what. And moreover, so much noise. So similarly, there are so many voices in the heart. The voice of our own impure mind, first of all. What are the voices in the heart? So many desires for material enjoyment. The living entity's heart is full. It is just like an it is like a collection of all kinds of material desires, and each of them is vying for competition to be heard. I want to be fulfilled. I want to be fulfilled. All these desires are coming up in the heart, and they come into the mind, and then we think, oh, it could be Krishna from within telling me that you should do this. Krishna's voice is also there in that babble of voices. There is a babble, like in a crowd. If you go to the stock market, share bazaar, or if you go to the railway station, there's so many noise. People are speaking. You can't identify who's speaking what. So similarly, there is a babble of voices in the heart. But how are you going to identify which is that one voice of the Paramatma? Paramatma is speaking to us, but we are not pure enough to hear. So when you become pure in heart, then you can hear, only one voice will remain. That is the voice of the Paramatma. And then you can hear it very clearly. So Lord Krishna is the Adi Guru. He is the original Guru. And as the Paramatma, he is called the Chaitya Guru, because he is seated in the heart. And from within he is guiding, giving us, come on, surrender, 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 come towards me, give up the sense gratification. But we can't hear. So therefore, out of his mercy, he also appears without. He appears through the representation of the spiritual master or the guru outside. It is not that the guru outside is God, but he is a representative of God. Because we can't hear the guru from within, the original guru, Lord Krishna, from within the heart, so he appears through the medium of the guru outside, who may be the Shiksha Guru, he may be the Diksha Guru, he may be the Patha Pradashika Guru, so many different kinds of gurus, right? Diksha Guru is the one who grants you initiation and accepts you formally as a disciple and grants you the new name, and you take a vow as his disciple. The Patha Pradashika Guru is one who guides you. He gives you the original guidance, come on, go to this path. He gives you the first book. He is the first person who talks to you about Krishna. He guides you on. And then there's a Shiksha Guru. Shiksha Guru, you can have so many. Anyone who instructs you about Krishna is a Shiksha Guru. So Krishna appears through all these different mediums, because as Paramatma, he is also situated in their heart. And through them, he acts. He gives them the potency to act and instruct us. And what is the role of the Guru outside? The Diksha Guru, the Shiksha Guru, and the Patha Pradeshika Guru, to introduce us to the Chaitya Guru, to the Paramatma within the heart. Then we can shake hand. Yes, now I know you. But right now we don't know him, because the heart is so pure. So when we surrender to the Guru outside, what do? We surrender to him. We tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. So we first question submissively, we serve him menially, and by following his instructions in this way, automatically, then our heart becomes pure. And then we are able to understand, yes, Lord Krishna is present in my heart as a Paramatma. And then Lord Krishna, and then because of the pure heart, we are able to hear the voice of God. We are able to see the hand of God in our life, moment to moment, day by day, every day of our life. So this is the condition. So any desire that we may have, we have to cross-check. There is a check and balance system available in the scriptures. What is that? Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. If there is some desire coming, cropping up in your heart, how do you know whether it is the desire of the Lord or not? Cross check. Is that what your spiritual master is saying? Is that what the Shastra is saying? Is that what the Sadhus are saying? If it isn't, that means it's the voice of Maya. It's the voice of your own mind. If it is, then yes, that is the voice of the Paramatma from within. So therefore, by being trained under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, we're able to slowly, the voice of the Paramatma becomes stronger and stronger. Not that actually it becomes stronger and stronger, but the other voices become lesser and lesser. So we're able to hear better and better. So in this condition then, we're introduced to the Paramatma, and we know, yes, this is the Paramatma. So we should understand very clearly that although the actions are being performed by the sanction of God, but because it is happening due to our desire, we are at all times responsible for it. We cannot shift the blame onto God. So the role of the Paramatma is not only during our life now. Even at the time of death, the Paramatma has to play a very crucial role. What is that role? He makes arrangements for the Jivatma according to his karma to be transferred to the next body. The subtle body comprising the mind, intelligence and false ego is already creating the next body. And the Paramatma, by divine arrangement, is already getting ready your next body. Come on, now you shift. Karmana Daiva Netrena. That means it is happening under Daiva Netrena, under divine vision, under divine supervision. It doesn't happen by chance. So this is the role of the Paramatma. In the 15th chapter, I will just read three verses in which Lord Krishna is describing how this progress takes place, a shift from one body to another body. How the Jivatma is transferred from one body to another body. He says, the living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another body as the air carries aromas. When you go to a flower garden, the air is moving. It is carrying the breath, the aroma of the flower, and it comes to you and you are able to smell. And then it goes to the next person and he is also able to smell. Similarly, the subtle body is carrying your desires. From this body, it goes to the next body. From that body, again it accumulates some more desires and goes to the next body. Just like the breeze, it accumulates whatever fragrance or bad smell is there in its path. Isn't it? And then it just carries it on and gives it to the next person who is there to smell it. Similarly, the subtle body also is carrying all the different conceptions of the Jivatma. All the desires from one body to the next body to the next body. That is what is being explained here. And then he says the living entity, thus taking another gross body, obtains a certain type of ear, a tongue and nose and sense of touch, which are grouped about the mind. He thus enjoys a particular set of objects. So according to your karma, you get a particular body. Somebody gets a very long mouth like a cow, it becomes a cow's body. Somebody gets a very long nose like an eagle. Somebody gets big, huge ears. Somebody gets another kind of body, all according to your karma. So what is being described in this verse? The different kind of species of life that you will have to get. And also in the same species, somebody may get a very long nose. Somebody may get a very long, big ear. So everything is determined according to your karma. So you're getting an appropriate nose, ear, all the organs, everything are being fixed according to past karma. And who's deciding all this? The exact, whether your nose is going to be 4 inches long or 3.5 inches long, who's going to decide? Paramatma. Exactly, tailor-made, he's making it. So the next verse, the foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the three modes of material nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. So one who is intelligent, he understands how all these transformations are taking place from one body to another body. And this is all happening under divine supervision. So the Jivatma's activities are being controlled in every situation, in this life and also in the next life. And once he accepts the next body, then he must act according to the limitations imposed by that body. You see, Maya means, Maya is like a spell, a jadu tona. When you cast a spell on somebody, when you hypnotize somebody, then he is forced to act the way you want him to act. Isn't it? Like that, when you occupy a particular body, then you are forced to act according to the nature of that body. Just like when the Jivatma goes to a dog's body, then he must bark. He cannot speak English. He must bark. And then he will fight with the other dogs. He will snarl. He will do everything. Why? Because the material body, being matter, is controlled by the laws of material nature. And because the dog's body will act like a dog, so the Jivatma is forced to do that. Similarly, when the Jivatma goes to a hog's body, he will eat all kinds of garbage. He will go in the filth. He will do all these things. And similarly, when the Jivatma goes to a demigod's body, appropriately, he will be attached to that situation. So under the spell of that particular body, he is conditioned to act in that way, and he forgets what has happened in the past, what I was in the past, and he is simply illusioned by his present body. There is a very nice story, small story, of King Indra, the king of the heavenly planets. Once upon a time, you see, the heavenly demigods, they are also devotees of the Lord, but sometimes they get a little illusioned because they also have some desire for sense gratification. So one time, Indra committed an offense against a great saintly person, Narad Muni. So he was cursed that being the king of the demigods and the devatas, you are of causing offenses like this, so you are cursed that you will go and get the body of a pig for some time. So immediately, the soul left Indra's body and went to occupy the body of a pig. Now once he was in the body of a pig, then naturally the spell was cast. So what happened? He began to imagine himself to be a pig. Just like earlier he was imagining himself to be Indra, which is also a dream. So here he had a new dream that I am a pig. So in due course of time, because he was Indra, king of the heavens, that post is given to a very, very exceptionally qualified person. A person who has done tremendously good pious karma. So because he was Indra, such an exalted person, so even the position of a pig that he got was also an exalted pig. So when he got an exalted pig's position, then naturally he had a very powerful personality and all these things, very intelligent pig. And very soon he became the leader of the pig community. And then he had a family, and he had so many queens, queen pigs, and he had some nice little piglets who were all the time making nice little noises, oink, oink. And in this way he had many surrendered subjects under him, and all of them used to come to him for advice, and he would give them advice. And he was basking in this sense of pride that yes, everyone is dependent on me, and because of me the whole community is going on. So in this way he was living his life, eating garbage, living in the muck, and having nice life. So after some time, Narad Muni realized, all the other demigods were getting impatient. What is happening? Indra is not coming back. Now the time is over. So they went to Narad Muni, please do something. The chair is vacant. The king's throne is vacant. And Indra has to come back. So Narad Muni went back to Indra, who was in the form of a pig. And he said, my dear Indra, it's time. Please come on, let's go. Now everyone is waiting for you. So he said, where, my dear Narad Muni, where do you want me to come? He said, back to the heavenly planet, your Indra Loka. He says, all your heavenly enjoyment is waiting there for you. But he said, no, how can I leave all this? See, I have such wonderful family, nice children, obedient children, they're obeying whatever I say. And see, all these fellow pigs of mine, society members, they're so helpful and they're all depending on me. And if I go, what will happen? So he got so attached to that situation that he began to imagine himself a pig, although actually he was Indra. So then Narad Muni, out of his mercy, he chopped his head off and then he sent him back to Indra Loka. So this is the spell that is cast. So in this way, our history is made, life after life, of different kinds of spells and magic of Maya Shakti upon us. And the Paramatma is just waiting. Go on one spell after the other. According to your desire, he casts you under different kinds of spells. So we must know that ultimately our desire is not to come under such spells. Our goal is to come out of these spells. So the moment we turn towards the Paramatma, then automatically he gives us all guidance. So in the very next shloka after this, Lord Krishna explains, Tam eva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata tat prasadat paramam shantim sthanam prapsyasi shashvatam. He says, O Arjuna, surrender unto the Supreme Lord utterly. By His grace, you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. So if you want to go back to the spiritual world, if you want to obtain real peace in life, then all we have to do is to take note of the Lord within the heart. We have to follow His instructions as given outside by the Guru, and then we will be able to shake hands with the Lord in the heart. This will be our best appointment. So let us make it as fast as possible. Let us not delay this appointment with the Lord. He is waiting for millions of lives, trillions of lives. So let us now decide, enough is enough. It's very late. We are very late for that appointment. So let us keep our rendezvous, let us keep our appointment as much as possible. And the best way to proceed towards that appointment is not the local trains, is not the BST buses, but the best way to keep that, to travel to reach that appointment is to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.